I don't drive a Ferrari. That don't mean Bevich and Finlay 1067 the fan. It is time for Bleep You Thursday. People have been calling for it. We got to let Jeff get some stuff on his chest, but the phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. I'm going to let my man Ronald in Waldorf lead things off. Ronnie, who you mad at, buddy?
Yes, sir. All right, how you doing?
Good buddy. Man. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to say bleep you to whoever in the Lerner family is in charge of the purse strings and will not allow our general manager to field a professional baseball team. This guy has absolutely ruined the taste of Major League Baseball in our mouths here in the DMV. And I want to say bleep you to the Lerner family. If you just want to make money, then just run your business. But if you want to satisfy the fans, please give us a good product on the field. Thank you.
Yo, all right, man. Well said, Ronald, and very well said this week with all the BS people are trying to come at Rizzo about. Also, just sell the team. You said you wanted to sell it. Sell it. Don't just hold it in purgatory, man. Like, if it's not earning how you want or whatever, just sell it. Let somebody else spend the money. Thank you for the call, Ron.
Yeah. Yes.
Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067. All right, Jeffrey.
Yes.
How you doing, bud?
Well, I'm tired. I've been at the NBA for a majority of my day and morning yesterday and today, all because someone was not competent enough to do their job correctly. I feel as though, like, if you work at the NBA and you mess up somebody's, like, records or anything, you should receive a point on your license. Because, so mad. Tuesday night.
Explain what happened.
Tuesday night, I'm driving home, and I don't even know why this cop pulled me over. He tried to say I had a rolling stop, but I didn't roll and stop through the stop sign. I'm definitely not while a cop is behind me. That's stupid.
You saw the cop.
Yes. So he pulls me over. He's like, license and registration. He comes back. He's like, Mr. Walker, do you know you're driving on a suspended license? I'm like, suspended how? He was like, must ain't pay no fines. I said, there's no way. I've paid every fine from Maryland's MVA.
These are not parking tickets.
I had a speed. I had like two speeding tickets, but these tickets were from last year. I have paid my tickets. So he's like, I'm like, okay, I'm right down the street from my house. Can I just drive home? He's like, no. I'm okay. So my roommate come pick my car up. I go home. So dude, like, go to the MVA in the morning. So I call the MVA. I'm calling them. You know, it's always a line outside of the MVA in the morning. Yeah. So I'm calling them while I'm in the line as soon as the door is open and just trying to, like, get someone on because I don't know why my license is suspended. So they give me a number. I luckily get an appointment, and they schedule my appointment for 3:45. But the thing is, I didn't know my appointment was at 3:45. I get my number. I'm waiting.
So you just went in the morning?
Yes, because that affected my whole life right there. So they give me an appointment, but the thing is, they ain't say like, yo, here, take this appointment, come back later. They give me the appointment. I didn't know it was at 3:45, so I'm sitting in the MVA from 8:39 to 3:45 for them to say, oh yeah, the tickets that you paid, I don't know why they weren't updated in the system. I have all the receipts. So then the day is about to end, and they're like, well, we'll wait on, we got to wait on a certain fax tomorrow, something, some paperwork. We got to wait on that. Come back tomorrow. I'm like, come back tomorrow? I've been here all day. So this morning, what I do? Up at the crack of dawn, I made sure I was like the third person in the NVA to go in there, check, make sure my license is straight. So I want to personally bleep the officer first. Because, dude, I was right down the street. Like, you could have escorted me home if it was that much of a problem. Two, bleep the person who didn't put my tickets. Yo, y'all got my money. What else do you want from me? You almost got my car taken. I'm glad the cop wasn't, you know, I'm glad the cop wasn't a Bama and was like, yeah, we're going to have to tow it. I'm glad he was like, yo, you can bring somebody here. But, yo, that I feel bad for anybody that, you know, really have to go to the NBA because they are not there to help you.
Nah.
They are there the whole to hold you the entire
like
day.
Virginia too, the DMV, they sure in the hell try to make you bad. And they have problems.
Then, like, to make it worse, this one lady had her baby.
I'm getting emotional now.
She had her baby in the NBA, and the baby, this baby just wanted to cry. I think God was just like, yo, cry to tick off Jeff right now. This baby did not stop crying for nothing. The mother picked the baby up. The mother gave it a pacifier, the bottle. It would not stop crying.
The baby didn't want to be in the NBA.
I didn't either. I wish I was that baby. That baby was crying for me.
Are you saying bleep you to babies, Jeff?
Yes. Bleep the babies, too. Bleep everybody who was in that NBA yesterday.
Yo, the vibe of the people in the NBA are, like, offended that you are trying to get something done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The DMV, whatever you
them,
want to call
the
it.
Bank, the post office. I'm like, why you have this
post
job?
Post office, for sure.
If you're going to be that pissed off, stay your ass at home.
I wonder if bankers have changed a little now
they
that
haven't.
Like more stuff is COVID. Like post COVID, there's more banks are closing. There's probably between AI and like office closing.
Rude as hell.
Yeah,
I understand. Like sometimes, like most times, when people go up to the NVA, they probably laid on something. They was being irresponsible. But the lady I walked up to had an attitude, and it wasn't even my fault. It was theirs.
I'm sorry, bud. That. When you texted that Tuesday night, Jeff has sent some wild texts, and I was just like, oh, damn, he's about to go through it.
Yeah, when you left from the golf course?
Bro, yeah, I went from the golf course to the grocery store to go home.
Damn, so you shot a 165 and then got pulled over? That's a tough couple hours right there.
It wasn't a 165, JP.
Was it a 166?
It was 131.
Oh, my bad. It was a 65 and a 66.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it was a 66, then a 65.
I'm sorry.
We got to put it in that order so you know I had some improvement.
Right.
Yeah.
My bad.
65, 66, tomato, tomato.
Yeah. Sean Sullivan on Twitter says, bleep you to the Bamas that egged my car in the Hyattsville library garage on Tuesday.
Damn.
Who is egging people's cars at the library?
You're egging cars.
That's wild. I mean... At the library?
If somebody he knows.
I want to say, bleep you. Listen, I understand that sports are all just a cash grab. But for a long time, that was limited to professional sports. And now college sports is just all in.
You're starting to sound like Chris Russell.
I'm not. I don't want the NCAA tournament expanded. It's already, it's at 68. Now it's going to go to 76. It's only a matter of time until it's 132. Whatever, I'll watch it, I guess, so that's what they want. The college football stuff bugs me. I think we're not far away from the college football playoff being 20 teams and 12 of them are from the SEC and the Big Ten. I don't know. Like, I'm not naive. I'm not pearl-clutching. I don't expect, you know, I'm not up here talking about amateurism. The kids should get paid. I don't know. Why are Cal and Stanford in the ACC? None of it makes any sense. Matt is in D.C. Matt, who you mad at, dude?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I got a twofer. Number one, bleep you to whatever reason that Landfill and Jeff don't have their own shows by now. We're going to look back on this era. It's like the Shanahan coaching staffs. Like, can you believe B. Mitch and JP had Landfill and Jeff on their show? I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. Like,
you should email the Cluster Buster. The world needs a Landfill and Jeff program.
But I also
they'll
would
kill
like
each
to
other.
Give out a little I would like to give a little support to the learners.
Ooh.
You know, we're sitting here. Yeah. We have a World Series. We had a great run. They did sign in my opinion, the greatest national so far in our history to a big contract, Mr. Strasburg. And that, unfortunately, you know, he had already recreated himself once and it turned into a different kind of completely dominant pitcher than he was when he entered the league. And that, we all know what happened there. But instead of signing, you know, Soto and Rendon and all this kind of stuff, all this money. Now we've got good young stars and Wood and Abrams and Ruiz. And, you know, we've got some good young draft picks coming up as well. We're about to enter another great era where they can add and modify and so increase.
My question would be, do you expect them to add and modify and increase? Because you're not wrong. They did spend, and they got a World Series title. You're not wrong about that. Yeah. It's what's happened
Scherzer,
since.
You know, I mean, we spent some money and made it happen. Not all those things worked out. I think it's actually, when you look at Major League Baseball, there's so many teams who spend so much money for so little return. I actually think they're probably correct when it comes right down to it. So spending money to spend money doesn't seem to work out. I mean, like, look at the Yankees. They've been obviously very, very good almost every year, but they don't got no titles. So I tend to trust them. They've got good management in place. And
you are an optimistic fellow, dude.
Not spending money don't help either.
You know, I would add to that, go Hoyas. As far as being optimistic,
I mean,
I think you're drinking.
thank you, Matt.
Somebody just called
me. Deep that goes.
Appreciate you listening, bud. Thank you.
Somebody just called me and asked me, how many golf balls you have left? The one with the 1-800 on them.
I got like two boxes left, two, three boxes left.
You mean two, three sleeves?
Sleeves, but all right, yeah, use the jargon. Yeah. Two, three sleeves.
I don't think you have two or three sleeves.
No
you
way.
Lost, you lost three of them yesterday. And you had lost some of them before yesterday.
Nah, you should stop playing those.
Only four of them in one box.
Nah, but I was playing other collected balls.
Jeff lose the ball where they won't be calling into the station.
Dude, when I tell people that are trying to learn how to play golf, and sorry to the driving ranges out there, go to the driving range and buy the big bucket and pour half of that in your golf bag and just play range
ball. He's already done that.
Oh, really?
He lost those already.
I plead the fifth.
Landfill, are you excited about a potential you and Jeff radio show?
Yeah, we'd crush it.
How do you think the workflow would go?
Oof. It wouldn't be great.
Would you think Jeff would have perfect attendance if he had his own radio show?
Hell no.
The Jeff and Landfill program.
I think he would be on time for like the first week and a half. And then issues might start.
Like, I think the first, if it starts on a Monday, I think by Friday there will be, his car gets stabbed or something happens. I don't know what it would be. But you guys, listen, if the Cluster Buster's listening, you guys have my full support. Give Landfill and Jeff every night from 7 to 8 when we don't have games on. Landfill, you in on that? You come back to the station?
Yeah.
That's not prime nap time. Oh, boy. There's a billionaire on the line, folks. Our friend Jarrah. Hello, Jarrah. How do you do, sir?
I'm doing fine, Finley, Brian, Walker, and I can't get up Landfill. Hey, listen, I just want to say one thing. I came on a little strong last time. I do not want anything, and I mean anything, to happen to my man Charlie. Because every time he calls in, I feel like my IQ is just increased by 30 or 40 points. But anyway, hey, listen, I wasn't going to call in, but Walker, you bleeping the NBA, how rich is that? You got to be the worst driver in the world. I mean, all I know is you probably got to take a loan out to pay all the stuff. But here's Mitt. You didn't do a rolling stop. They caught your tag on their little readers, and he realized he had a big fish in a small pond. That's why he pulled you over. It wouldn't have mattered. You could have put your blinkers on. You could have done everything. They were going to pull you over. But for you to bleep the NBA, they make you go through all that as a deterrent. That make they go through all that pain. You can get your damn near driver's license renewed without even going in the office now. How you do it, I don't know, but it's been done. So they do everything to keep your ass out of there. You're doing everything to keep your ass in there. Anyway, listen, pay your damn fines and you won't have to deal with a cop that's pulling you over for apparently no reason.
He had already paid the fines.
I understand
they didn't update it.
Well, then here's what happens, Brian. Don't do all that crap and have a damn lengthy record already in there. They couldn't expunge all that in one day. That's why he got his ass in trouble. Hey, listen, y'all have a great day. Hey, Brian, I can't wait till you get in the Hall of Fame.
Appreciate you, bro. Thank you, man.
Thank
y'all
you,
have a great day.
Thanks for the call, dude. One day I would like to have a discussion about just parking tickets accrued. Now, listen, I'm no angel. I get some parking tickets. I get some speed camera tickets. Things happen.
I have.
But Jeff's.
I got one I got to pay right now.
I just had to pay one. What do you think of this? My beautiful, darling, brilliant wife. The speed camera ticket came in the mail. She just handed it to me. I opened it up. I said, this is your
hand
car.
Hand it back to her. Yeah.
Jeff, can we ever.
She handed it to you because she thought it was yours. She handed it to you because she thinks you go pay for it.
Can we ever disclose just ballpark figures of you versus the D.C. Parking Authority?
No. Not at all. Not at all.
Also, we've heard from the Cluster Buster about the possible Jeff and Landfill program. It was a four-letter response. You care to guess what those four letters were? Nope. Let's get one more here. My guy Vic is in Akakeek. Vic, who you mad at, dude?
What's up, fellas?
How you doing, bud?
What's up, brother?
So, I'm good. I am a longtime North Carolina Tar Heel fan. My brother and I actually started liking North Carolina. He started liking Duke. We didn't even realize it was that. Those two teams playing. We were fighting. And 5 years later, Chris Duhon misses the front end of a half-court shot. So with that said, bleep their athletic department, because they keep re-signing or extending Hubert Davis. He is too nice to those kids. And our organization is a laughingstock now. Duke is not competing with us for recruits anymore. They're getting all of them. Our five-star players are going to other schools. They are transferring. And it's not because all the kids are soft in this generation, blah, 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 blah. Yes, I know this generation is different than the generation I grew up in. But Hubert Davis is too nice. Hubert Davis, he screams defense at his press conferences and gets mad because you ask him critical basketball questions. But he doesn't hold his players accountable to the point where we will play like Roy Williams coached when he played Bill Guthridge or Dean Smith, with effort, basketball intelligence, not turning the ball over, rebounding the ball, and having a point guard that doesn't turn the ball over and just wants to shoot all the time. I'm sick of it. And we're going to suck for 4 years because Duke is going to get better. Connecticut is getting better. And the ACC is going to continue to revolve and have better teams every other year. And we're going to suck for 3 to 4 years. And I have to watch my brother scream in my face, Duke, 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 Duke.
Well, Vic, to look on the bright side, at least you have an incredibly stable and normal situation for Carolina football with Coach Belichick running that thing.
No, I'm not a fan of North Carolina Tar Heel football. Duke Peppers was a dog when he played there, but that's it. Let me explain.
Well, at least Coach Belichick's just bringing nothing but good information and a positive spotlight to Chapel Hill.
I could care less about North Carolina football for the rest of my life. I am mad because me and my brother were 9 and 8 years old. The Waterloo team was playing. And they beat the brakes off somebody, and they were real precision, had a lot of precision. They were real organized, and they did everything right. And then the Sky Blue team was playing the week after that, and they beat the brakes off somebody. So the 2 weeks later, these two teams play. And the Sky Blue team beat the brakes off the Water Blue team. And my brother said, if you touch my face, we fight. And I said, we won. My tip of my finger touched his face, we started fighting. 5 years later, Duke and North Carolina played, and Joe Forte had 25. We did not know what we were fighting over. And since that day, it has been an all-out war about Duke and North Carolina. Now I got to hear him scream, Duke.
So is this really a bleep you to your brother?
Yeah, you bleeping your brother, right?
No, I don't have a
reason. All right, we got a very hard out here, bro. Take care. Thank you for the call. When we come back.
Monica say, with the eggs being so high, why the hell somebody egging cars?
It's a great point, Monica. You're an idiot if you're egging cars with the cost of eggs right now. You'll hear from Lewis Riddick when we return. Hey, a spirited edition of Bleep You Thursday. Thank you to all those involved. Lewis Riddick, you know, worked for the Burgundy and Gold. I don't think it's a secret that he cares for the organization. I think he's also kind of campaigned to become the general manager a few different times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what keeps Lewis from getting back into the league. He obviously hasn't yet. Doesn't mean maybe he won't someday. But I do think he's a really good commentator, analyst. I think he provides good insight as a former player, former front office guy. And Riddick hasn't been shy about what he thinks of the Commanders and kind of the way the NFC shapes up. This is ESPN's Lewis Riddick talking about the Commanders as far as NFC threats to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right now, who do you think is the biggest threat to Philadelphia in the NFC?
It's Washington. It's Washington, Green, because they're making all the right moves. Look, I know we want to, like, conveniently say, well, Jaden Daniels can't have another season like he had last year. Well, why not? Why can't he? Did Cliff Kingsbury go anywhere? No. Did they add some protection on the offensive line? Yeah. Laremy Tunsil and the drafting of Josh Connerly are huge. It's huge. It all started up front with them anyway. Deebo Samuel, that acquisition is huge because we know he's a multi-tool player. And we know that a guy like Jalen Lane, who they draft from Virginia Tech, he's an absolute stud in terms of his ability to add another speed component to go along with Terry McLaurin. And really, you know what? Here's the biggest thing. If Trey Amos, if they hit on Trey Amos, the corner that they draft out of Ole Miss, and we saw Washington just get obliterated in the NFC Championship game by Philadelphia through the air, on the perimeter. If Trey Amos can be that dude, I'm telling you, everything is looking up for Washington. Everything is looking up.
Everything is looking up. I tend to agree. I thought it's Amos, Trey Amos, like famous Amos. Have you?
What do you got, Amos?
Yeah,
I hear a lot of people saying Amos as well.
I don't know what is accurate. We're gonna have to get to the bottom of that.
Oh, just ask me directly.
Yeah. Next week I'll ask.
I just call him Trey. I said, "What's up, Trey?"
That's a good workaround.
Yeah. You have to say the whole name.
What do you think is the biggest hurdle for Washington kind of remaining, like, getting back to the NFC title game? Like,
I believe the
it's
offense,
hard to do.
I'm not going to say necessarily a hurdle. I just think that having the offense have a legitimate season again. I believe the offense, as I've said before, everyone talks just about the defense. That offense scored in one possession games in six games straight, which means the defense was giving them enough, holding teams back enough or just being there to give them an opportunity to still win. But if the offense can stay effective and keep the defense fresh, the defense could play a lot better. So I think as much as people think it's about the defense, I think the offense getting close to where they were last year is most important.
I think if they could run the ball better, man.
Yeah.
They started running the ball really well, and then they really fell off.
That'll make them better, wouldn't it?
Totally. Yeah. I think the second half of the year, I mean, Jaden was their primary runner.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's the best, most efficient type of offense. You never want to remove Jaden's legs from the game because he's such a threat. But you'd love to maintain whatever that looks like. B-Rob, Eckler, Bill, Chris Rodriguez. They got a lot of dudes. They got a lot of options.
That deal with that kills me.
I love it. I think if they could run the ball better, makes them more efficient. I think Deebo as a runner,
if they
could
run the ball,
a piece of this
with their with explosiveness, that makes another team become so one dimensional on the offense to where now your defense has a chance to exploit them.
Sure, I think.
And now with Jaden's ability, Deebo to be able to do it from anywhere, Terry, what he did last year, you know, still Zach is still, they now.
I saw Zach yesterday.
They can be a hell of a problem for some people.
I think people really sleep on the way Zach Ertz takes care of his body, like just the amount of work that dude puts in. I got asked last night on All Ears, we do like a mailbag segment, if I think Cliff will carve out more of a role for Ben Sennett. And I have a couple thoughts on it. One, I think Sennett's a really good blocker, and fans don't really value that because, you know, they want to see offensive production. And specifically, the dude asked me, do you think he could have more of an H-back type role? And I think he could. I think he has a skill set for it. But I think they're going to – if you're going to build creative plays with somebody in the backfield, I think those are going to Deebo.
See, I think what people got to get over is this is the NFL, people. Coach don't have to carve for you if the person in front of you is still carving up people. You get what I'm saying? So Ben Sennett is going to take a major step for them to want to carve out something for him. And I think he's going to get there eventually, but if you got somebody in front of you playing like Zach has played, it's going to be hard for them to carve out for you because he's still performing at a high level. You know? It's like everyone wants somebody to automatically just be thrown into it and be what they want them to be. That takes time. And if the dude in front of you is available and accessible, you're going to have to wait a little longer.
Agree with that. I looked at some numbers. This is not win totals or any of that. This is just teams to make the playoffs next year. And I think it's kind of interesting looking at these numbers. The Bills are the safest bet to make the playoffs.
And I think
out of all the teams in the NFL, you look at that division, they got six games against the Jets, the Pats, the Dolphins, and the Bills have made the playoffs, what, probably 5-6 years in a row?
What about the damn Chiefs? They live in the playoffs.
So the Chiefs, so the top four teams are the Bills at -750, the Ravens at -550, the Eagles at -400, then the Chiefs at -380. I think with the Chiefs, it's just that they play in a much tougher division, is my guess.
They've won it how many times? 10?
I think he said 9 times in a row.
Yeah. So I don't know.
These are just the odds. But it goes Bills, Ravens, and maybe Bills is higher because more people will bet it. We know that these aren't always direct correlations to what is the best team or whatever. Bills, Ravens, Eagles, Chiefs, Lions. That's your top five. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, well, last year they were injured. They got a bunch of dudes to get injured.
Who was injured?
The 49ers have the sixth best odds to make the playoffs at -200. Mm-hmm. You know who got better this offseason? The Rams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the Seahawks definitely got better going from Geno to Darnold, but I'm a big believer in Mike McDonald and that coaching staff. I think their defense will be way better. I think the Cardinals were pretty damn plucky last season.
Yeah.
The remaining incredibly high expectations on the Niners.
People when they like Jay.
Bucks a -175, and then you've got three teams at -160: the Bengals, the Commanders, and the Rams.
Okay.
So the Commanders are a favorite to make the playoffs, just ahead of the Chargers, the Texans, the Packers, and the Broncos. You think that Commanders number is about right?
I think it should be a little higher. I think they're better than what people are going to give them credit for. But everybody's still talking about that sophomore junk.
I don't see it, man.
I don't see it.
Remember after Baker's rookie year and those progressive commercials where you never stop seeing Baker Mayfield?
Mm-hmm.
Or obviously we saw it with Robert here. Jaden has done none of it. There is zero for me to think.
The commercials don't faze me at all. It's like I look at what they've done around him on the team. Like normally when teams have a quarterback that plays very, very good, they do nothing. They basically have went out and improved their squad. You got your coaching staff back. You've given him more tools, more weapons. So I think he's in a better situation than a lot of guys that had those great years. Look at my man C.J. Stroud last year. He ended up back in the playoffs, right? And both of his top receivers were hurt throughout the season. He still ended up in the playoffs. But people call that a sophomore slump. For him to get back to the playoffs with his top two receivers hurt, that's a hell of an accomplishment.
I'm not expecting any sort of sophomore slump. Now, last year they got the bounces. This year maybe they don't. But I think sometimes in life you create your own bounces. I think their aggression on fourth down leads to the long drives. I think Jaden isn't a turnover-prone guy. So I there's some of that, if you want to say, like, oh, the football gods were on their side, maybe they were. But I think a lot of that was them creating their own opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I would be... Peter Rosenberg's coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll preview this Knicks-Pacers game tonight with him, among other things. I do want us to just have a conversation about what the hell Pittsburgh is doing. But it doesn't make sense. I just think, I don't know that the Commanders are the biggest top contenders to take out the Eagles. I think the Lions will have something to say about it, even though they lost both coordinators. I think the Rams are quite good.
Losing both coordinators will hurt.
Yeah, and the Rams have won a Super Bowl. It's like people like to gloss over that. Mm-hmm. I think the NFC will have real contenders, but I think Washington's absolutely in the conversation. When we come back, what the hell is going on with the Steelers?
Hey, it's Brian and JP here. If you want comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, then you need to turn the Root. With Wi-Fi compatibility, you have full control of your heating and cooling system right from your phone. Forgot to turn down the heat before vacation? Adjust it in seconds. Plus, you'll get alerts if something's not right. These guys are the best. They've installed new systems in my home, and I felt the difference instantly.
The best part, these systems are whisper quiet. With Rood, you get no more noisy interruptions, just peace of mind and a good night's sleep. Rood's variable speed compressor ensures precise temperature and humidity control, operating efficiently even in the most extreme conditions. I'm telling you, since I got the Rood system, my house has never been more comfortable. It's comfort and performance perfectly balanced. And you can save a bunch of cash, man. You can qualify for federal tax credits up to $2,000 on heat pumps through 2032. Visit Rood.com/federal incentives to learn more.
Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in a DMV. And remember, if it ain't Rood,
it ain't right. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right, I don't really know a lot about this event, but it has caught Brian Mitchell's eye every time it comes on. In England, there's a giant hill called Cooper's Hill, where I suppose it's a very long tradition where they roll a giant log of cheese down the hill, and a bunch of these British dudes chase it and just get knocked out. They just, it's a steep hill, and they just get rocked. B, how do you feel about these cheese seekers?
I think they're crazy as hell. I mean, you're running down a steep hill behind the cheese is rolling on the ground, too. You're not going to eat it when you get to it, are you? And then guys are flipping.
It's an 8-pound wheel of double Gloucester.
But they are flipping around. Dog, somebody is. I would like to see the list of injuries on that little deal right there.
Do you know what the prize is, though, if you get it?
What's the prize?
You want to guess?
$25,000.
7 pounds of cheese.
Okay, you get 7 pounds of cheese, you're going to have constipation, and you're going to have $45,000 worth of injuries. Didn't a YouTuber win it this year?
Maybe.
So what do you do with the cheese?
I don't know. I just seen
one you got dude. You got 8 pounds of cheese.
One
what
dude went flying down the hill.
But my question, Jeff, I just saw a dude flip.
For he was in like black.
By 15 damn yards, laying on his back. But how many injuries do you have after you get this cheese? You probably can't carry the cheese home.
I would have done that in college, but now, nah.
Yeah, you're very...
nah, not now.
Very mature now. Specific to the cheese, though, B,
there's no money is involved.
Started in 1826.
It's probably where they should have left it at, in 1826.
I bet back then people were starving and going hungry, so they're like, yo, I'll chase you for that cheese.
People had their own gardens and everything back then. They probably had more food than we do. We depend on everybody else. They were making their own.
All right. I just saw something online. Can I just say this? Okay. I saw a report. I think it's from our boy Barcel Nate, saying that Alex Ovechkin, that there was an email that Ovi announced. It was basically there was some email that said announcing it's Ovi's last season. Caps PR just put out a statement saying unequivocally there has been no decision. This is from Capitals PR. No decision has been made on Alex Ovechkin's future following the 2025-26 NHL season. An email was sent.
It came from by a name, Tony Wolak.
Hold on. That's who posted it. That's not who it came from. Here's the actual information. An email was sent from an individual with the corporate sales department that mistakenly alluded to next year being Alex Ovechkin's final year. So Tony Wolak posted it. That's probably not where the email came from. Here's what happened. Somebody's trying to sell a couple extra things, and they're like, yo, it's probably Ovi's last year. And then it gets screenshotted, and then that becomes the story. I think we all believe it's probably Ovechkin's last year. It's the last year of his contract. He said he wants to play one more year in Russia at the end of his career. But I do think Alex gets to be the dude to make that announcement, not Tony Wolak.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we cleared that up.
or whoever in the office that sent the wrong information that would tell you that, they need to stop sending emails.
Yeah.
There you go.
I did want to play this real quick because I want B to hear it. Terry Bradshaw, obviously a Hall of Fame quarterback for the Pittsburgh
Steelers. I'm with you, Terry.
Terry Bradshaw went hard. Just what the hell is Pittsburgh doing waiting around for Aaron Rodgers?
What do you think about possibly Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback? That's a joke. He shouldn't. That is just, to me, is a joke. But what are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? I mean,
that's not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man. That guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go
you.
Somewhere and,
thank
and
you.
Chew on bark and, and whisper to the gods out there.
100%. These guys on the show, Mr. Bradshaw, know I'm not a fan of his. We've been around each other personally, and he was not a kind person.
He does not. I had to go over and introduce myself to him. He's not. I had to go, hey, Aaron, I'm Terry Bradshaw. I know he knows me, but I just felt like I better tell him who I am.
Yeah.
And not, you know, you walk in there and you get in his presence and you feel like it's going to start snowing.
I love Terry.
What?
That's Louisiana right there. They don't give a damn.
What are they doing? Are you surprised?
I'm surprised that Tomlin hadn't said anything. I know it's not Tomlin's doing.
You think?
Tomlin is not deciding on waiting on no damn Aaron Rodgers. That's front office.
Who's the GM? Omar Khan, I believe?
That's the front office. It's damn sure not Tomlin.
Wouldn't you... If I'm the Steelers and I think my defense is good enough to compete, because I think they
do. I wish they were on Hard Knocks and we could see some meetings in the back. I bet you somebody's getting cursed out by Tomlin.
Do you think there is an agreement in place for Aaron to come and he just doesn't feel like dealing with OTAs?
First of all, if you're a quarterback going to a brand new team, and I don't care what level you are, you want to be a leader, you need to come there. The quarterback going there is totally different. You know, he has a history of screwing up teams and being selfish. I would think that any coach, after watching what he did to the Jets, he got the defensive-minded coach, Tomlin defensive-minded, got that man fired to bring in his dude.
Saleh.
You know, so, man, if anybody on that team needs to be concerned about him.
I don't say this lightly. If I was Pittsburgh, the move to me is obvious. Call Atlanta. Offer a fourth. Say, we'll pay half of Kirk's salary. Whatever Kirk isn't as far as playoff success, Kirk has limitations, right?
Yeah.
And maybe you're concerned about...
Kirk deal with... Did they get rid of Pickens yet?
Yeah. They traded him to the Cowboys.
So they got rid of Pickens, and then you got Debo there now. Who's the other receiver?
No, DK.
DK, I'm making that Debo. DK. What? Kirk? Yeah, Kirk can
Kirk's
do something.
Kirk's a pro. He's going to show
pro,
up and be a pro.
But he can't get you over the hump, though.
Yo, but Mason Rudolph can't either. That's who they're starting
still,
right now.
Still, I mean, I could pay Mason Rudolph less money than I'm going to pay Kirk. If I'm not going to go somewhere, then I'm damn sure not going to pay top dollar to not go somewhere.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have to pay it all. Atlanta's going to have to eat a bunch of the
money. They're going to have to eat some of it, and probably what they're going to eat is still you're going to be paying him more than you're paying Mason Rudolph.
Sure, but I think Kirk is significantly better than Mason
Russ
Rudolph.
Or somebody else instead of dealing with this Aaron Rodgers.
They had
crap.
Russ. They didn't want him.
I said they should have kept him.
They had Fields. They didn't want him.
Yeah. Now they got Aaron Rodgers.
The Steelers have been such a well-run organization for so long, and this just seems bizarre. Maybe they really like this kid, Will Howard. I think they're going to let Rodgers come in whenever he wants, and it just doesn't seem very Steelers-ish.
No, it doesn't. And I think, see, this is where I'm at with it. You've had veteran players on that team already talk about the displeasure of, if he's going to be a Steeler, he needs to come here and do it the Steelers' way. What's the big defensive lineman that said that?
Cam Hayward.
Yeah. So, listen, man, you're basically setting up problems.
Bizarre behavior for the Black and Gold.
Mm-hmm.
When we return, our friend Peter Rosenberg joins us from New York. We're talking Knicks Pacers, do or die for the New York Knickerbockers.